Blog Talk Radio.
Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. Real quick, couple show notes. If you're looking for wrestling, you have KDW happening in Jeffersonville, Indiana today. We also have in UWA, Blue Collar Wrestling, up in our neck of the woods in Portland, Oregon, like usual. And I would like to take one moment real quick. Last night, Diceman Ronnie Vegas having what was said to be his final match. As you might know, I don't believe in retirement or final matches, but just to be safe, I want to thank Diceman for everything he has done for me. There would be no Sun Guy if not for Diceman Ronnie Vegas, so definitely want to thank him for everything he's done so far in professional wrestling. Say what you will, I am always grateful for him. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce our show today. We are talking managers in professional wrestling, the long-storied art of managing. We have a couple of people that are very familiar with managing on with us. I'd like to introduce up from Alaska, TJ Rocks, and from the great state of Indiana, someone I've watched manage for many years, Damian Anderson. Thanks to both of you for being on with us today.
No problem.
Thank you.
Well, since this is the manager show, I want to ask both of you this question to start. Let's start with Mr. Anderson on this. What led to you getting into the work of professional wrestling manager?
Okay, I've been in the business 39 years, and I wrestled the majority of my life as a wrestler. Then after a while, you get up in age and stuff, I just kind of let myself smoothly run into being a manager. I had a lot of people that wanted me to take care of their and train them to be wrestlers, so I did that also.
All right, and TJ Rock, can you tell us what led to you getting into the manager business of professional wrestling?
So I started 5 years ago and with Alaska Professional Wrestling, and at first I was just a commentator and DJ, and then I started training. I trained to be a wrestler, but unfortunately because of my type 1 diabetes, it slowed down my training. So I decided, and I talked to management, I was like, hey, can I just do something to be a part of this? And they're like, oh, perfect. We've got the best role for you. And so that's when TJ Rocks was born, and I became a manager for Stephen Wolf and JT West.
And we have been joined, I believe, by Mr. Mann out of World of Hurt Wrestling. Am I correct?
That is correct. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Pleasure to be here.
Well, same question for you, sir. What was it that got you into the world of professional wrestling manager?
It's kind of a unique story. I wanted to get in way younger than I did. Pardon me. Life didn't allow that at the time. I didn't actually start training in wrestling, knowing I was going in as a manager due to my age, because I started training at age 48. And needless to say, I wasn't going for any of the huge flying moves. That just wasn't going to be a thing of mine. And the age requirement saying, hey, you're going to be a big success someday in the big, you know, three, wasn't going to happen. So I knew my role right from the get-go. I had actually 25 years of entertainment experience on top of the wrestling. So it was about taking the entertainment skill and throwing it in to the ring.
Well, Mr. Anderson, like you said, you wrestled for a large part of your career, and you got into managing other guys. And in that era, there were still territorial systems in place. There was a lot of traditional territory boundaries there. A lot of guys from the Bruiser territory were still very active when you got into managing. Did you have a lot of the veterans that were still around help you when you decided to go into the managing aspect of things to try to guide you? Since Indianapolis had a lot of really famous managers, traditional guys like Bobby Heenan and Saul Weingroff and people like that.
Well, yeah, being in there 39 years and being a wrestler so long, that helped me. Every show I went to, almost always had managers. So I got to see what they did, then kind of form it into what I do. My moniker basically is I'm called the world's most dangerous manager, mainly because of my wrestling background. If I need to get involved and make sure my individual or my tag team, you know, goes all the way to the championship, I'll do whatever is necessary to get that person or the people that I'm managing to that point.
Now, TJ Rocks, up in Alaska, there wasn't really territorial wrestling, and there's pretty much been one or two promotions at a time in Alaska as far as independent promotions, so you didn't have the same guidance, really. There weren't a lot of veteran managers around to instruct you. What was it like for you learning the role of managing and how to do it correctly?
So we've only, probably in the three promotions that we've had here, we've only had one or two in the past. And so to figure out how I wanted to be a manager, I looked at all sorts of past managers. I looked at Bobby the Brain Heenan. I looked at the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. I saw their personalities and how what they brought to the ring, to their client, to their and their style. So I was like, how can I incorporate this in my perspective of being a manager? And that's how I really learned how to become a manager, is through looking at past managers and people and valets as well, like Sonny and Miss Elizabeth. So it's been a wild ride, but I mean, it pays off just to study what's been happening and going on.
Mr. Mann, up in your area in New England, there's traditionally been a lot of managers that have applied their trade there from the territorial days on through to the independent level. Lots of great managers have come through your general area. Were you able to pick the brains of a lot of other managers to try to hone that craft once you decided to go into managing?
Unfortunately, not. When I got in, there was only three, and they ended up being people I was working with. Their styles were different, and if you were going to learn anything, it was the animation. Half the battle, of course, is entertaining an audience, and you know, to manage to help your guy get over or get more heel, wonderful. But if you're not communicating love, hate, whatever it may be, then it's not working. And so to watch the different managers, the different styles, and how they're getting their character over to accentuate their represented talent, yeah, observation more than brain picking.
Well, Mr. Anderson, I know from having watched you over the years, sometimes you get involved in the fray and there's going to be some physicality on the manager's end from time to time. strictly on your manager role, what's some of the injuries that you may have had pop up that fans may or may not really expect for a manager to get?
Well, I told you I started really, really late in life. So one of the early moves I took that was bigger than anyone expected me to take was this spine buster. And it wasn't bad on me, but it got a big pop even from the promoters because they had no idea at my age I would do something that insane. But believe it or not, it's kind of funny, Hornswoggle. He came in and interfered with a match at a Dynasty show, and I was climbing back up into the ring to just give him hell, and he did a baseball slide into my face, and I took a tumble to the floor, which the mats had been shifted because two other people had gone out, and I caught concrete, and I could feel that I had chipped it. Now, go a week later, I'm involved in another promotion, and I take a pop to the face, so it's an apron bump, roll to the floor, and both those ended up on the same left elbow, hyperextending all the muscles in my forearm, and finally chipping that bone off, which created, you know, water on the elbow. And that one I'm still recovering from, and that's been close to a year. I just haven't, but, you know, you don't talk about it. You go on, you do the thing. But it's also, as a manager, as a wrestler, you know, like, for instance, having my hair cut by Brutus the Barber Beefcake, it's even the injury. Well, Hornswoggle did this to me. It's the notch in the belt, you know. It's a badge of honor, if you will.
TJ Rocks, I don't think you've gotten physically involved to the level that the other managers here have done in their careers, but I'm sure on occasion there's a little bit of physicality that has happened to you. How prepared were you the very first time that you had to do something physical in a wrestling match?
To prepare myself, it's really nothing, really, just the thought of being out there, the adrenaline rush was more of that preparedness, I guess. Because when I'm out there, it's like I'm there, I'm going to be there to set a boundary for my client. I'm going to make sure that they win regardless of anything. And that boundary shows the area of when I need to go there, when I need to do stuff, and make sure they win.
Mr. Mann, I know for a fact you have become physically involved in matches. We had Mike Blair on the show recently. He talked about how you and he had a physical altercation at one point. And of course, he's the timekeeper, so a little bit different. But when you physically get involved in your clients' matches, what are some of the injuries that have happened to you that you have to protect yourself against at this point?
What I have to protect myself is my own stupidity, because I do, in fact, get involved to the point of whole character, whole energy involvement. I'm giving the 110% there, and like any other wrestler or performer, the adrenaline is feeding you at that point. And I will just do whatever they ask and stupid things without thinking. I'll do them properly, but then again, I don't do them technically properly because I don't claim to be an old school. I've got thousands of years of experience as a wrestler. So to deliberately flub a move looks like I'm killing myself. But that's part of the game. You know, something as simple when I first started, I tripped over the second rope coming in for the ring for the first time when they didn't know me. You know, you look like the fool. So I've got to really be careful of getting overly excited and having too much fun going out there and doing my thing.
Well, Mr. Anderson, I know in your managerial career, you have managed a and worked against a lot of bigger name talent. There's scores of them you've been on shows with and were directly involved with, either in their corner or the opposite corner from them. When you get into a match and there's someone that is sort of a household word, having been on television for a long time or whatever the case may be, does that put any more pressure on you and your wrestler or wrestlers to do well, knowing that you're in a match with someone that the promoter was counting on to draw the crowd?
Well, I've been in many matches, like you said, and against legends and very talented wrestlers that's been on TV and everything else, and also that is in the Hall of Fame. When I look across the ring and I see that my people might need some help from me and stuff, to me, once the bell rings, they're just another opponent. And I do what I have to, you know, make it work out our way. Like I said, I travel all over the United States and I've traveled all overseas also. So I've got to see all the different varieties of promotions out there and how they run and how they work against getting people coming in like big names to help draw a crowd. And that's the best way to do it. But if I'm going to get somebody that's a Hall of Famer or, you know, somebody that's been on TV a lot, like I said, they're just another opponent, and I'll work them and get it done one way or another.
DJ Rocks, you don't have the same amount of legends and bigger names off TV that come to Alaska. It's a little more special when it happens up there just because of the geography of the situation. But when there is a bigger name coming to Alaska, be it someone off TV or just a bigger name independent, whether you're in that match or not, does it make you want to perform to a little bit higher level when you know that someone that has a certain name brand is watching the show and is there?
To me, it's always has to be higher than 110%. Whether they're legends in the Hall of Fame to somebody that's just up and coming, everybody needs to perform at the highest and top priority. And I feel that it's humbling, and it's an honor to be with in the presence such as Adam Pearce and the Ballard Brothers. They've been here. And it's a huge honor to be in front of them and to be able to represent myself and my clients. And so even if, say, like we've had also Adam Reyes and Rob Love, and other people from Alaska here, it has to be at 110% or more. It can't just be half-assed. So I say when people come here, it's an honor and a privilege just to show how much you can do with them, whether they're new or they've been here for years upon years.
Now, Mr. Mann, up in your area, of course, it's a little bit different situation in Alaska. You also have access to bigger name talents. It's more accessible to get the World of Hurt than it is some other regions of the country. I know you've been on shows with bigger names. Do you get to work with the bigger names on a fairly regular basis whenever they pass through World of Hurt?
I do, actually, and I consider it a great honor. From a promoter's mindset, you give the title to somebody who can carry it. So when they say, Mr. Man, we need you to go ahead and work with Brutus the Barber Beefcake or Greg the Hammer Valentine, you know, that's a nod of a thanks. We recognize the skill. We know you can entertain. So I take it as a huge compliment. And, yes, just about every show we do up here, there's a name involved in one way, shape, or form. Not always against my representative, you know, but they're in the building. I get to meet with them. And I got to tell you this one huge honor. Jimmy Superfly Snuka was up with the World of Hurt a couple of years ago. And I had the opportunity one-on-one to be outside because he was a heavy smoker. So he was outside a lot. Well, I stayed out there and we talked. I met his wife, had a great time. And, of course, we all know the end result there. But so to have those opportunities, and you can't find another business, I don't care if you're a singer, a dancer, an actor, where the people that you grew up watching, the people that you idolized, you're going to be able to rub shoulders with one day and have one-on-one conversations. It's wonderful.
Well, at this point in time, ladies and gentlemen, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm sure he has some questions. So, does help you all as I pass things over to QT for a bit.
Well, thank you, Sangay. Hello, managers.
Hello there.
Hello.
Mr. Mann, I saw your YouTube video entitled WOH Wrestling, Swinger Sedeski versus the Mighty Franz Roddy.
Yes.
The first question that pops into my mind is, where did you get that stylish black hat with the red stash?
The jacket was I've had for years. The pants are regular. Of course, I'm wearing wrestling boots. But the hat itself was just a fedora, and we needed to just spiff it up some, and the glitter was added to the entire outfit by my wife. She put all that piping on, and it was to my benefit. I recently worked with Jimmy Hart, got to introduce him to for an event in Vermont, and we were in the back waiting to come out and do our thing, and he said, nice gimmick. He said, Dick Clark, if anybody remembers that name, he says, Dick Clark told me, if you go out there looking like the crowd, dressed like the crowd, eventually you'll be in the crowd. And we all know Jimmy Hart, he made himself visible, no doubt about it.
Were you a big fan of his song, Keep on Dancing with the Chanterelles?
Not
necessarily. He belonged in a band. And he had a number one hit song, Keep on Dancing.
Yeah, no, I quite honestly never heard it. So.
Oh, okay, I think you have a homework assignment to look up Keep on Dancing. Yes.
Enough said. Good deal.
Would you accept this homework assignment to listen to that song?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Keep on Dancing.
Yes.
Writing.
Okay. Now, I was wondering if your suit was an Armani suit.
No. I'm not going to put something that expensive on and then sweat through it in one night. No.
Oh, okay. Now, what if it was an Armani suit that was used but was dry cleaned?
Well, that's okay. I would do that.
Oh, okay.
But I've recently, besides that, I got knocked outside the ring a couple of shows ago, and some fan decided to wake me up by pouring water on me. So there was that wetsuit. And then there was a young gentleman who was who had passed away. He was a special needs kid. He had physical ailments. He passed away at age 16, wheelchair bound the bulk of his life. So they were doing a fundraiser at this World of Hurt show for the family. And part of that was, since I'm so loved by the audience, part of that was to, you could buy a whipped cream or a shaving cream pie for $5 and smack Mr. Man in the face with the pie. Well, I was literally covered head to toe with shaving cream when this was all done. And it doesn't dissolve. It doesn't wipe off. What a mess. Yeah, the suits, I'm not sure Armani would have liked that too much.
Oh, wow, okay. Now, you said that a fan poured water on you. You can kind of tell as a manager, especially after you've had a few matches under your belt, if the action by the fan is, how would you say, non-lethal or lethal, a capacity, or there's a better word, vicious, intent, or non-vicious. Maybe the fan was caught up in the time.
Well,
how do you handle a fan that maybe go over the edge and has vicious intentions?
You know, I've had my life threatened before, but I got wind of that before the end of the night, so I was one of the very, very last to leave, and with people there to ensure. However, most times, the fans, I've never had it that bad, except for that one time. And this water incident, quite honestly, and I'm going to break kayfabe here just a little bit, is I had taken the bump in the ring. They kicked me out. I took a bump to the floor, and I'm stupefied, you know, barely moving. And I look up, and beyond the guardrail was this gentleman with a water bottle with the lid on, mocking, pouring it in my face. And I see him, and he sees me, and I catch his eye. And I said, do it. So he unscrewed it, blah, blah, blah. And then I woke up because of the water splash. And it was perfect. It was perfect. But it was almost a coordinated, non-coordinated action between me and a fan.
Wow. All right. Okay. Okay. Well, Damian, wrestlers like Buddy Rogers and especially Gorgeous George back a couple decades ago, when they wrestled down south, their style, or gender-bending style, if you will, with the blonde hair and sequined robes, didn't go over very well in the conservative south. If you transported yourself back in time and you managed a wrestler like Gorgeous George or Buddy Rogers, would you have second thoughts of advancing that gender-bending style at a time when it wasn't accepted? And how would you handle the fans?
Well, I'd let the wrestler do what he wanted to do as far as what he wears to the ring and stuff like that. And if we're in one of these states that kind of don't cater to that stuff, it's still a draw because they want to come to the show and see what this individual that's out of character, you know, normally what he's going to do. I mean, we're talking like Ric Flair and, you know, Gorgeous George, like you said, and Jesse the, you know, Body Ventura. I mean, people like that, they drew because of their style. So, no, I wouldn't stop anybody from doing that. I'd help them get the word out so people can come see them. And also, just off mark just a little bit, we was talking about Hall of Famers stuff a little bit ago. This past March, I got two honors bestowed upon me. Not to toot my own horn, but toot. I got into the Indiana Wrestling Hall of Fame as a legend, and also I got chosen to be in a Cauliflower Alley Club for my ears. And so that was a great honor, two great honors that I got this past year.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Wow. Now, Damian, you said you were inducted into the Cauliflower Alley Club because of the ears. Did you have to go to the actual Cauliflower Alley Club meeting to accept the award?
No, I didn't. I just got my name entered, and they appoint you. They got a board of people, wrestlers and non-wrestlers, that is in charge of inducting people, and your name goes in a hat, basically, and if they think that you've done what you deserve to do in a, you know, pro wrestling, where you're a manager or wrestler, whatever, you know, they'll pull your name out and induct you. And I got called Friday afternoon or something like that, and was told that I got selected. Then in the mail a few weeks ago, I got my certificate, and this coming next year, first part of the year in April, they have a yearly program that all the people and all the members come to in Las Vegas, and for the couple of nights they have wrestling shows put on for free, and that all the people can come and see. So, I mean, that's the process, and I didn't even know I was nominated until after the fact.
Hmm. Well, okay. Now, what would you consider a better honor, being inducted into the Cauliflower Alley Club or being ranked number one or 500 by Pro Wrestling Illustrated?
Boy, that's a tough call. Both of them, just like the Cauliflower Alley Club, we're talking very famous people. Not, you know, like I said, not toot my own horn, but the thing is, I'm with people that are legends themselves and Hall of Famers, and we all meet in Las Vegas, and for a few, 4 days, basically, I mean, we have a heck of a time seeing each other over the years. We haven't seen each other for a while, you know, reconnecting, and also you gain a lot of interesting information from people you've never met before. So I would be on the fence and call them equal.
Wow, equal, okay. Mr. Mann, what would you consider a bigger honor, being inducted into the Cauliflower Alley Club or being ranked number 1 or 500 by PWI?
Oh, well, since I those are lofty goals for me, and I don't expect either, I would have to go Cauliflower. Make a decision there, absolutely.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, Miss TJ, would you say your managerial style is more like Sherry Martel or Miss Elizabeth? Earlier, you mentioned Bobby Heenan and Jimmy Hart.
I would have to say, I think it's a little mix of both. I like the beauty and style of Miss Elizabeth, but I like the fierceness and the strength of Sherry Martel. And I admire both of them very deeply.
Oh, okay. All right. Have you ever painted your face like Sherry Martel?
I have thought about it, but I don't think I look good in makeup. I think I'll just take the all natural. She does it better anyway.
Wow. All right. Okay. Now, Miss TJ, you're based up there in Alaska. Have you ever had your wrestlers under your tutelage train and strengthen their arms by fishing for halibut and reeling in big-sized halibut? That's the question.
I've actually had one that does that and also hunts bears, and that's Stephen Wolf, because here in Alaska,
oh,
we go strong.
Now, he hunts bears, or does it, or he wrestles a bear?
I think he tried to wrestle a bear, but the bear got scared, so he had to hunt it. It was one of those, you know, do or die trying kind of things.
Wow, all right. Well, I think Sign Guy would like to see QT Votes wrestle a bear cub one of these days. Yes.
Confirmed.
All right. Well, Damien, did you have a wrestling background in high school?
Yes, I did. Also in college, I wrestled, you know, all 4 years and stuff in high school, then went on to college and wrestled there. One of the first times that I knew I was going to be a wrestler is I saw Dick the Bruiser and the Crusher up in Indianapolis, Indiana, at Stenlow Armory. And after I saw what they could do to a crowd, and also what they could do and perform in the ring, I knew I was hooked. And I asked Dick the Bruiser to train me, and the first thing he says, "You're too little, kid," you know? And I said, "No, I'm not." I said, "I'm bigger than you are, even though you are physically bigger and bigger than me, I can hang." And from that point on, I started working with Dick the Bruiser, and also over the years, being able to be with all the legends and Hall of Famers that has been around a lot longer than I have, that gained me and my knowledge and my physical capabilities what I need to do to advance and do well in this business. And what I'd like to do to the other two managers that's listening to us right now, not to sound braggadocious or anything like that, but if you ever want to fly me out to your area, I'll give you guys a lesson on how to be a manager.
Wow.
Thank you so much.
Very good.
So
I'm not that cheap, but I'm good.
No, it's a generous offer. Thank you.
So, Damien, what kind of per diem would you demand on your travels out there? Per diem.
who'd you ask that to?
I mean, Damien, I'm asking you. Yes, what would be your bare minimum per diem that you would have to accept to fly out there?
Well,
to give letters?
If I travel out of state Indiana, which I do often, the farther you are away from me, the more I'm going to charge. And also, at the same time, I'm going to ask to be flown there and an overnight stay in a hotel paid for, and then plus what I make as wrestling as manager. I don't like throwing numbers out there, but the thing is, I'm well worth whatever money I tell you I need to come in.
Wow, all right. Okay. Now, Damien, what college did you wrestle for, and what was your record? And did you wrestle all 4 years in college?
No, I didn't. Actually, what I did is at the time, the wrestling in the college, they needed people to go out there and go against them and not really be on the team like I wasn't. But I was their practice dummy, if you want to call that. But by the time they saw what I could do in the ring and stuff like that or wrestle on a mat, they knew they was up against a talented person.
Wow, okay. All right. What weights did you wrestle in high school at?
I was a little bit littler than what I am now, but at that point I was wrestling 125 pounds, and I'm currently right now about 100 pounds more than that, but I'm still in good shape, and at 62 years old, I can hang in the ring.
Wow, all right, okay. Did you ever hear of a college wrestler named Cale Sanderson who went undefeated and had 4 NCAA championships to his name? Cale Sanderson.
Huh. No, I haven't, to tell you the truth.
No, okay. He was undefeated throughout his college career, and he won a gold medal. Cale Sanderson.
Wow.
Yes.
Now, if I saw him, I'd probably know him, but right off the hand, no name.
Now you have homework.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, Mr. Mann, do you see a time when a manager will bring in a mascot? For instance, the Oregon Ducks have a duck as a mascot, and the Washington State Cougars have Butch the Cougar. Why hasn't a manager brought in a mascot to work with?
That's a very good but odd question. I can tell you this. There's two situations that pop into my mind when you say that, and that would be when the manager was the mascot, and, of course, the biggest one, if you want to call it a mascot, was Bobby the Brain getting in the weasel suit, which was absolutely hilarious. On the other hand, I was they were going to have at World of Hurt Wrestling a bear mascot, and during one of the women's matches, and that bear turned on one of the women and pummeled her to the ground, and then the head came off of the bear, and there's Mr. Man. So I've been the mascot, so there you are.
Wow, all right, okay. Now, TJ, Eric Young had to dress in a turkey suit. However, that's because he kind of lost a match and had to shame himself, and it was at Thanksgiving time. My question to you is, could you yourself ever see yourself donning a turkey suit if you led your wrestler to defeat a turkey suit?
You know, just for fun, I do it. I would present myself as a gorgeous dinner for them, like on a table. And then when they're ready to eat, I just come after them and just peck them to death.
Wow.
It would be the perfect
okay.
Thanksgiving. That's a Thanksgiving for my client right there.
Wow. Very good. Very nice. Okay. Well, TJ, in World War II, General Patton had to march and drive his tiger tanks and troops 250 miles in 7 days on his march through Germany under battle conditions. Many times his advance was slowed by fierce resistance by troops from Hitler's Wehrmacht division and some stormtroopers that were able to fight at all hours because they were fueled by what was then a form of speed and methamphetamines. At one time, General Patton stopped by a tent with wounded troops, and he asked a soldier what was wrong with him. And the soldier replied something like, "Battle fatigue, sir." And then Patton slapped him. And a little while later, he slapped still another soldier. Later on, General Patton had to apologize to both soldiers and to his command. My question is, have you ever had to slap a wrestler under your command?
Wow.
So first off, about the stormtroopers, why would he bring stormtroopers? I mean, they're not really good shots. Couldn't they just bring, I don't know, somebody else. Just the stormtroopers. You had me as stormtroopers right there. But
that's great.
To say about slapping people, yes. And it is a beautiful, glorious thing. It just brings some sense to my client's opponent to say, no, you shouldn't be in the ring. You shouldn't be against my client, and you shouldn't go against TJ Rocks. And yes, I'm a better slapper than a stormtrooper that shoots.
Oh, well, may I reiterate that those stormtroopers were fighting under Hitler's command. There were no stormtroopers under the American command. Yes.
Oh, okay. There we go. That makes more sense.
That was a good answer, though. I love that. Dun, dun,
well,
da, dun,
Damien,
dun, dun. you know, this kind of came up in conversation already about, you know, getting into wrestling and skill sets versus, like, Damien was saying, well, he says you're not ready, but then they recognize the skill set. And it's one of the things about people that actually want to get into this business and they think, well, perhaps, you know, I'm just not good enough and I'll never learn to do that and I won't be able to do this. And learn what you can, perfect what you can, and the promoter, the booker, if you have a specific skill set that works, that helps the story, that can put you over, they're going to recognize that and not say, I don't need you to fly through the air. I need you to do this, and you can still be successful doing this. So a good promotion will recognize and utilize the right talent.
Wow, good points. Very good points there, and legitimate. Yes. Okay. Well, Damien, speaking of military leaders, would you say your leadership is more like George Patton or General Douglas MacArthur?
I'd say General Patton, mainly because when I take somebody out under my wing, whether they're a seasoned pro or a rookie, I demand that they do what I tell them to do. If not, they, you know, go out the door and keep on booking. But it is, you know, one of these situations where I have a lot of people come up to me that I don't even know it and want me to manage them. And I'd ask them why, but to give you an example of why people want me to manage them, and I'm a heel manager, okay? But the thing is, just like last night, we was down in Salem, Indiana, and one of my people that I've managed before, his name is Big Country, he got in a situation where it was going to be a 2-on-1 tag team match. And Big Country was by himself because his partner couldn't make it. So since I've managed him before and we've been great friends for a long time, I walked out through the curtain and I started taking my shirt off and I got up in the ring with him. Okay? It was a no disqualification match, so I could do that. So I got up in the ring, and we won the match. And, I mean, there was tables, chairs, everything else involved in that match that I show people at my age and my ability that I could still hang and win the match with my partner. And that's why I'm asked, you know, quite a bit to, you know, show people how to do it and when to do it.
All right. Okay. Well, TJ, would your managerial style be more like Blackjack General Blackjack Pershing of World War One, or Stormin Norman Schwarzkopf in the Iraq War?
Unfortunately, I don't know any of those, but I can say I'm kind of like Genghis Khan. I'm wild.
Okay.
I'm more feral. I'm wild. I'm in for the kill. I want my client to win by any means necessary. And some people will underestimate me, but that's the fun in it. It just makes it so much fun because they never know. And that's what makes it so much fun and exciting. Because I'm cutesy, but I'll tear your head off for my client.
Oh, all right. Well, at this point, I am assigning you, TJ Rocks, the assignment to look up Black Jack Pershing. And he got that name Black Jack because he was one of the first generals to work with black troops and say that black troops could work with white troops based on the actions of the Buffalo soldiers and soldiers later on. He was one of the first integrated commands that he advocated for. But yes, you can look up Black Jack Pershing and give it your report on what you think of him to Sign Guy.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Oh, okay. Well, and now, speaking of Sign Guy, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy, who, to my knowledge, has never wrestled a bear cub or a full-grown grizzly. Okay.
Very good, Sign Guy.
Yes.
Thank you. And I have not, although I've shared a locker room with Tracy Smothers, who has.
Yeah.
There you go.
Now, Mr. Anderson, as someone who has the most experience in managing that's on the show today, looking over the landscape of independent wrestling, why do you think that we see fewer managers in this era of wrestling compared to what we did, say, 10 to 20 years ago?
Well, only thing I said about that is, yes, they have thinned out. I've seen managers come and go throughout my career, but it depends on what type of manager you are and what you can do to benefit the wrestler or wrestlers that you're managing and get them all the way up to the top run of that ladder to get them what they want as far as championships. The more you train people to do that and your name gets out there like mine, mine's all over the United States. You know, and that's a blessing I've had to be able to, you know, sustain myself in this business so long. But I've showed people what I could do, and they go by that to judge me to keep me around this long.
Now, Mr. Mann, when you broke into wrestling as a manager, it was a little bit in that time where managers were starting to get phased out, at least on the national scene. They still haven't really made much of a comeback nationally. What do you think would have to happen for the national promotions to bring back a decent amount of managers and utilize that aspect of the business once again?
Well, I don't think the need has changed all that much. I think just society or the way management is perceiving them. You go back in the day, and even still today, those who are good on the stick, who can take a microphone, can wrestle well, and can entertain and get their point across and challenge an opponent with a microphone, then you have the rounded athlete that can do it all. Sometimes the manager's job is to be the mouthpiece for somebody who's big and bad or can do everything, but the skill talking to an audience or to a camera isn't there. Or even if you take somebody who's a beast, who, you know, they walk like thunder, but the big, bulky, you know, I will kick everybody's ass just from walking in the building, where his persona, his gigantism, if you will, takes over. He doesn't need to speak, but so now you can intensify that, you can accentuate it, amplify it verbally while he's doing the physical presentation. So it becomes more of that wrestler, that manager is a single unit that has strength together. What would bring it back? I think, look around. There are enough people who either need someone to talk or can just up their game by getting a controversial manager involved in what they're doing now. I think the need is still there. I just think it changed. They just stopped using it.
Now, TJ Rocks, you're a little bit different. You're more rare than the other guests because you're a female manager and you are up in an area that traditionally isn't going to be seen by the national companies. Pretty much the one independent company up there at a time. Looking at things as far as what you want to accomplish in the business and what the landscape is for managers overall in the industry as a whole, what are the goals of yours if you want to continue to manage a gain in the future?
The small goal for me is, well, it's actually the whole, but part of it is I want to make sure that my clients are known. And that's what a manager does. Like it was told, you know, they're the voice, they're the mouthpiece. But also I feel like managers are the hype men. They're the ones that help rile up the fans. They're the ones that help bring in seats. They're the ones that help promote. And that's what Alaska needs to do. And that's the grand scheme of things. I want Alaska to be known as a competitor for the lower 48, for all over the world. We are, in this 5 years, we are a diamond in the rough, but I can see the full potential Alaska has. And like I said, we had Adam Pearce here. We've had the Ballard Brothers. We've had Dark Sheik from Hood Slam. We've had so many independent wrestlers want to come up here. And that is a huge honor and privilege to show that Alaska is not just this giant state with a little fan base. And being a manager here, also with Miss Honey LaCour that manages AK Lightning, and Y Period T Period Jones, who manages Brody Adams and Phoenix Kid here, we are like the hype people. We're the hype people for our company, for our state. And that's the big thing in this small pond.
Well, we're getting down to the last few minutes of the show, so I want to give everyone ample time if they would like to say anything in closing, plug and promote anything you guys want, social medias, upcoming shows, merchandise, your favorite seafood restaurants. We will start with most experienced in the business, Mr. Anderson. Floor is all yours.
Okay, I appreciate that, and I appreciate the fact that you guys wanted me on this show. Just like the other manager said just a minute ago, that we are the voice of the wrestlers that cannot talk very well. A lot of people I've managed, their voice didn't match their persona. But I come out and I do the talking for them. Like you said, a hype person, which I am. I brighten up a crowd that's kind of sitting in their seats to get out of their seats. And that's one of the aspects that you really need to have to be a good manager. But at the same time, I've had experience of all levels of wrestling, from being just an average wrestler to a really top-notch wrestler going into management. But I've also promoted shows. I've been a referee. I mean, I've done every aspect of wrestling. So when I go into a show and somebody wants to have me manage them, they know what quality they're getting when they get Damian Anderson.
Mr. Mann, go ahead with anything you want to talk about here as we close.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've got to agree with Damien as well. This is a world of black and whites. The grays don't work so well. I recently saw a promotion where too many good guys against good guys, or middle of the road guys against middle of the road guys. The fans aren't emotionally invested. Therefore, they can watch it, and even if it's a big move, it's an observance versus yes or boos. The manager, I know it's for me anyway, can, especially manager heels, which most of them are anyway, can get a crowd so fired up. And there's another advantage to having the manager. If you want a face turning heel, you can put them with a manager, and the heat's already there. So now they come out with you, boom. But you can get that crowd so fired up that the black and white becomes very, very clear. We hate you and who you represent. Therefore, we love the face coming out. And once that is truly defined, people are emotionally involved. They're now involved with the match, not just watching the match. Now, find me on Facebook. It's Michael Ray Mann, M-A-N-N, two N's, don't forget it. And I work for The Dynasty and World of Hurt Wrestling locally here. And come out and see us. We've got shows going on every month, sometimes twice a month, so staying pretty busy with those two. And I want to thank you so much for inviting me on the show. I had a great time. And TJ and Damien, pleasure meeting you both.
Same here.
Thank you so much.
All right, Ms. Rocks, anything you want to add to that as we close things out?
I want to say thank you to everybody on the show. I have learned so much, and I want to keep continue learning. Everybody's welcome back. Welcome to Alaska. It is a beautiful place. I also want to say that I hope that people that want to become managers and become wrestlers, I want them to keep fighting for it. And kayfabe on this, I'm a type 1 diabetic. You know, I struggle with training. I sometimes, you know, don't feel like the manager I need to be. But I fought for my dream, and I'm going to continue to fight for it. So anybody out there listening to this, fight for it. Don't give up, because
absolutely,
you never want to miss an opportunity like that. And I am grateful that I'm here, and I'm able. If I couldn't do this, if I couldn't be a manager, I just want to make sure that the next generation fights for what they want. Also, I'd like to say NSA Wrestling has two shows in November, November 5th and then November 26th at the Palmer Train Depot in Palmer, Alaska. I also want to say there is an up-and-coming promotion in Fairbanks, Alaska, and that is Fairbanks Ladies of Wrestling. They are amazing women. They're up-and-comers. They're just starting out, and they're fighting for their dream as well. So they're going to be debuting their season December 3rd. So I would just want to shout out to all the wrestlers in Alaska, all the people that have graced us from the lower 48 in the world. Just thank you, everybody. And I hope to get to slap you in the ring and get to see you here.
I definitely want to get back to Alaska. It's been way too long since I was up there. Oh, I want to thank all of you for being on the show today. I enjoyed it immensely. Hope to have you all back with us again in the future. Would love to have you each back here. Fans, get out there, support your local independent wrestling, wherever it may be. Definitely support the managers. They work very hard out there to make the overall show that much better. Support what they do as well. I know it's a hard job. I've done it many, 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 many times myself. So get out there, support them. We will be back with you next week. Next Friday afternoon, we have MD Leisky, the ring announcer for our local Blue Collar Wrestling. Should be a great show with him. And next Sunday afternoon, it's our under 25 years of age show. All very young competitors coming to the show next week. We're going to find out what they've been doing. And
look to the future with them. So definitely check that out. We'll be with you then.
Good luck with the homework assignment.